Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Winchester snaps it. Placement is down. Wright's kick is up. And the kick is gone! 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 And the Kansas City Chiefs do it again. The third kicker this season to have a walk-off field goal.
Chiefs radio. Only the Chiefs could be down to their third string kicker, and the dude is nailing game winners against a division opponent.
Nailing?
Well,
doinked. He doinked an extra point.
You know, actually, it's funny because they conveniently left that out of the Chiefs part of the call. But yeah, the dude doinked it. Actually, that's so Chiefs. Of course, there would doink in, you know? Any other franchise, that doinks way out, and of course, everything comes up Chiefs again.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been the most anxiety-provoking winning field goal in Chiefs history. It was so close. Like, it looked so... I thought it was way off when he kicked it.
Yeah, well, they're down to the third-string kicker. I mean, this guy was kicking for the San Francisco 49ers until he got hurt trying to make a tackle. Remember when that old debacle happened? So, again, Chiefs be chiefing. And the big thing about this was the Bills losing earlier in the day really cracked the door open now for the Chiefs. Now they have a two-game lead on the number one overall seed. I know they have won the Super Bowl by having to be having to go on the road. But Perloff, this is not that dominant of a Chiefs team. Home field could mean more to this iteration of the Chiefs than it ever has in the dynasty.
Yeah, I think there's a long way to go for them to get this home field. They already lost a tiebreaker to your Bills. I just think the fact that they're playing with everybody, like the Broncos almost beat them, the Raiders definitely should be the Las Vegas Raiders. And last night, a beat up. This was not a full strength Chargers. They were right there with them too. So they play Pittsburgh in week 17 on that weird Wednesday game.
Yep. So weird Christmas.
That weird Christmas Wednesday game. So if they lose that game, I mean, this is going to be tough because I think Pittsburgh and Buffalo are right on their tail.
That's true. Pittsburgh with a dominant performance yesterday over the Cleveland Browns. Let's get to our NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, we do this every Monday. Give you a little taste of everything that went down yesterday. Don't worry if you're listening. We will get back to the college football playoff and all of the college football news. Do not worry about that. We got you covered in all areas. Okay, EJ, you set us, give us a team. We'll tell you the recap.
Okay, Perloff asked if I cared about this game, and I did not.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins beat the Jets in overtime, 32-26. Jonnu Smith, the star of overtime, three catches, including the touchdown.
Yeah, but the Dolphins are kind of technically still in it. So it's an important game. It's not like the Giants Saints to jump ahead. Like, there was meaning in this game. And I thought Aaron Rodgers, again, looked pretty good. I mean, honestly, if the Jets could have had that all year long, I think they would have taken it.
Totally disagree. Giants Saints was way more important because the Giants are trying to get the number one pick in the draft. This game was just, all right, Dolphins are going to what? Sneak in the playoffs and lose? And the Jets are going absolutely nowhere. However, a few more 300-yard games from Rodgers, maybe he comes back, or probably better for Rodgers, finds another suitor on a team that is better and a team that will say, we're an Aaron Rodgers away.
Show bet. He's definitely coming back. And he looked pretty good to me. It looked like he had finally some chemistry with Wilson.
Let's go to one of these terrible games we saw this weekend. How about Jaguars beating the Titans 10-6? How about screwing up the tank? Mac Jones, 2 picks, but still leading the team to a win.
I mean, do we have to talk about this game? This was brutal. But yeah, no, this is the bit. NFL in 60, Jags scoreless until the fourth quarter. Where, yeah, Mac Jones, who most people I think don't even know is still playing. But my biggest thing about the Titans is this going to be a one and done for Brian Callahan? I don't think it should be, but they are dreadful and they're even worse at home.
Well, he's kind of like Zach Taylor, who I think it was 2-14 his first year and made the Super Bowl not long after that. So you probably should give him a chance.
To be fair, he has Will Levis as his quarterback, and he's dreadful.
Jags don't need to tank, though. Like, they're fine. Like, what's the difference? I don't think you're going to get a huge haul to trade up to number one necessarily. So they're 2 or 3. They'll get the guy they need.
All right. It was a week homecoming for Kirk Cousins, who threw 2 picks, which is half of the picks he threw last week, but the Falcons still lose to the Vikings 42-21. Sam Darnold throws 5 touchdowns in this game.
I mean, first of all, the game wasn't a blowout. It was tied at the end.
This is a close game.
It was tied at the end of the third quarter. But, I mean, we got to start talking about, like, Sam Darnold is one of these stories of the year. They still barely ever play winning teams. I mean, the Falcons are not a winning team now. The Vikings have this strange record, 11-2, despite beating nobody. Sam Darnold sure looks awesome, though, to me, Maggie.
I just don't understand how they don't go to Penix here. And again, the Falcons' defense is also bad. So I'm not putting this all on Cousins, but you get outscored 21-0 in the fourth quarter. And it's just, it's so all bad, just even to shake it up. I'm wondering if Penix is not looking good in practice or something like that. Is that the reason? Because what's the loyalty to Kirk Cousins? You signed him and literally drafted his replacement 3 weeks later.
You paid a ton for him, though. I kind of get that. What about that one-handed pick by Byron Murphy? That was sick, too.
One of the plays of the year.
All right. There were boobs in the stands, but not a lot of much happened in this game. But the Saints beat the Giants 14-11 on a blocked field goal of my number one in power rankings for tank commander, Graham Gano.
Did you say booze? Nope.
Boobs.
Yeah, apparently a Giants player gave free tickets to an OnlyFans woman, entrepreneur, who was given the free access to flash the Saints to distract them. Didn't work. Because they definitely focused on that final special teams play where they blocked the game-winning field goal.
Derek Carr broke his other hand, his opposite hand. You shut him down, but his tryout for next year, like, I'm very curious where he goes. I would take Derek Carr. I'm back on the Derek Carr bandwagon. But don't judge the Saints team. They're not even trying.
Okay, let's go to Philly, where Perloff's Eagles survived a late scare from the Panthers. Eagles win 22-16.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the Eagles lost by 3 touchdowns in the spiritual sense here. This was a debacle of a disaster. Teams sleepwalk through this game and almost lose it, even though some unlucky bettor put a $3 million money line bet on them. This game was terrible for the Eagles. Again, you guys are like, Bryce Young looks so good. I was like, did he look good? Because I didn't think he looked good. 19 for 34, 191, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. A big chunk of that was in sort of prevent defense time. So I'm not scared of Bryce Young.
Do you realize where the bar is for Bryce Young?
The guy has 7 touchdowns and 7 picks on the season.
He's playing with nobody.
And also,
he's got Adam Thielen, who looks unstoppable right now.
Do you realize he looks like Joe Montana compared to the old version of himself from last year? We're judging Bryce on Bryce, not Bryce on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going into the season with him next year, is anyone going to pick the Panthers to do anything?
No, like, but he's getting better. Listen,
you might get stuck having to pay this guy then. Like, I don't understand your future with Bryce Young.
I don't think you're going to be close enough to the top. Where are they right now? Are they fourth or fifth?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you in this quarterback class?
No.
What are you doing?
You might not have a choice, but it still feels like the Bryce Young love is a little over the top considering like he never throws a ball more than 3 yards down the field.
Well, then maybe these really good teams should stop letting Bryce Young,
score 13 points against them.
They're in these games, which is very different from last year. One other thing here. Sorry, I know you're hitting the music. One other thing. What got into Adam Thielen?
Bryce Young got into him. That's what happened.
Sure. Okay. All right. That's as good an explanation as I've heard because I've got nothing else.
Let's go to an NFC North battle. The Steelers got their revenge 27-14. More Jameis Winston picks. More good play from Russell Wilson.
Yeah, listen, the Steelers are a threat. I told you guys this weeks ago. I believe I got laughed out of the show when I said that they are a Super Bowl contender. They are. And I think Russ is coming back. And the Jameis Winston, didn't look as good. It never looks great, but this did not look sharp at all.
Like when he threw it to that 325-pound guy, 4 feet in front of him. Yeah. I don't know. So this win made you think that Pittsburgh is a threat to come out of the AFC?
They're 10-3. I mean, this is a division that's tough. It's challenging.
Yeah, I mean, again, they got fat on really, really bad teams. They did beat the Ravens, but they always beat the Ravens. I think they're still a bit of an unknown. I'm not ready to call them bona fide contender yet.
Aiden O'Connell was carted off the field in this game. The Bucs beat the Raiders 28-13, 3 touchdown passes from Baker Mayfield.
This thing was that gif of the dumpster that's going down, that's on fire going down the river?
Yeah.
This game was a dumpster. It was so poorly played by both teams. I think the Bucs probably played down to the Raiders, but that also had a sick one-handed catch by Brock Bowers. That's all I got out of that game.
Yeah, I think he broke some kind of rookie tight end record, didn't he not, in this game? Bowers is legit. The Raiders are horrible, and the best thing that happened to the Raiders over the weekend is that Deion Sanders was at an event with Antonio Pierce and told Antonio Pierce, you better be drafting both of my sons. If Deion's going to maneuver and manipulate this draft process to get Shador to the Raiders, even if you have to take Shiloh, that's the only glimmer of hope you have.
Let's go to an NFC West battle. The Seahawks gain some ground here. They win 30-18 over the Cardinals. Seahawks improved to get this 5-1 on the road. Not what you think about when you think of Seattle.
Yeah, the 12s, right? That's supposed to be one of the great home field advantages. Listen, Kyler Murray's throwing picks on back-to-back drives. That's not a great way to start the game, obviously. And Arizona has had some comeback wins, but Seattle is might be hitting the stride at their perfect time, Pearl.
Yeah, they have a really interesting schedule. So they got Green Bay and Minnesota both come to Seattle. Feels like we're headed on collision course for Rams and Seahawks in Week 18 to determine this division winner. It's just really tightly packed in the NFC West. I know that the Cardinals have fallen off, but also I'm impressed the Seahawks ran the ball without Kenneth Walker yesterday. They look really good. They're good, but they're definitely that's a challenge. Green Bay and Minnesota coming to town. I think this is going to come down to the last play of the last week.
Oh, sorry. Zach Charbonnet, 134-yard rushing, 2 touchdowns this game. Former UCLA great. Speaking of L.A., the Rams beat up on Maggie's Bills. Not beat up, but beat the Maggie's Bills 44-42 despite those 6 touchdowns from Josh Allen.
Yeah, beat up in the first half, but then Josh Allen was Superman in the second half and brought them back. And again, it's more bad clock management and bad play calling at the end of the game. I mean, you don't even have to play Madden. Anyone who's been watching football for any amount of time would know you cannot run a play there, even if it's a quarterback sneak, because of the clock. What's the matter with the coaching staff? You're going to blow it. You're going to blow it. And there's only so much Josh Allen can do to overcome these end-of-game gaffes. And it's enough. And this is what cracks the door open for Bill Belichick. It does. I don't know if the ownership would make a change, but you need a coach who's going to handle things better than McDermott has consistently handled the end of games. Rant over.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, by the way, I love Nacua and Cup, but the personal fouls and the mental mistakes in the back four were really alarming for the Rams. Like, and actually, that's not the first time. You realize that these guys are all like 22, the entire Rams defense. They're so talented, but they just made so many mistakes. They should have put that game away. But could you feel them let, like, sort of the Rams on defense, you could feel them getting tight or something. Something was happening to them where obviously they're letting guys, they're up two touchdowns. They're letting guys 20 yards behind them on long routes. It was bizarre because I kind of want the Rams to be awesome because they're so entertaining. I just think that they're too young on defense, and I think this is not going the way they want it to.
It was a big bounce back for the San Francisco 49ers, who improved to 6-7 after beating the Bears 38-13. This game was pretty much over at halftime. They were up 24-0 at the end of the break.
Yeah, so is a 310-4 yard differential, is that big, Maggie? Because it feels like it's big.
I'm not bigger, reading. To be honest.
I think it's too late for the Niners, but my takeaway from this game is, man, the Bears are awful, and so much for the new coach, the interim coach. It's time to go back to the drawing board. Just have a fresh start next year.
Yeah, well, it's Thomas Brown, right? He's the unfortunate loser here because you go in, you think that the 49ers are a bit vulnerable, and they just stomped on you like you weren't even playing the same sport. So that doesn't bode well for the current, whoever's left of this current regime.
You got a nice little second half out of Caleb Williams, some plays. So that was encouraging.
So, and we'll get to Kyle Shanahan and stuff that he said about both Brock Purdy and himself and his future. We'll do that in a little bit later. And that's what you got, because we already talked about the Chiefs and the Chargers.
There you go.
Thank you, EJ. Thank you, Nico. You know, I'm going to quickly go to Bill here. Bill is our 49er fan calling from California. Bill, what did you think of your Niners yesterday?
Well, just like you guys talking about them right now. I mean, and you, Mag, you're a Bills fan, and you're complaining about McDermott making bad, you know. I've been living for, 8 years, 6 years, whatever, with Shanahan not being able to close out games and all that stuff. And, you know, if you look at it, yesterday, almost start, if it wasn't for Williams making that fumble, the Bears were going in for another score, marching in. They have a horrible defensive coordinator. They switched, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm sorry.
You're frustrated.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's frustration, but, you know, he's no Bill Walsh. He's no George Seifert, and why they're trying to make him like he's a genius. I have yet to see the genius coach because he hasn't done anything. Yeah, he's gone and he won, but you know what? We have four games this season alone, and I agree we're riddled with injuries. But before injuries, we have four games this season alone that we should have won that Kyle Shanahan, as a coach, did not know how to close out. And
what are you talking about? By missing field goals? What's that have to do with him? And by not covering kickoffs and punts? Like, that was all specialty.
Hey, Perloff, don't go there because you have no idea. Because before the field goals, there were things that could have happened that he didn't do. He shouldn't have tried for a field goal when it was 56 yards. And it was three yards for a first down. He should have went for the first down. I mean, he would have got. He knows nothing. And what do you know, Perloff? You're a Philadelphia Phillies fan, anyway.
Did you think, but Bill, in seriousness,
personal shot.
Shanahan should have fired the special team coach early because they couldn't cover a punt or a kickoff.
He should have fired the special teams coach. He should have fired the defensive coordinator. All that stuff. The defense for the Niners this year has been poop. That's it. Garbage. They haven't done anything. You tell me anything that the last year's defense was a whole lot better than this year's defense, and they were all upset with the defensive coordinator last year and fired him right after the Super Bowl. It's just like, if you're going to hire a defensive coordinator, get somebody who's at least better than the guy you thought was worse last year. They didn't do that. And they hired this guy out of frustration because they had nobody else to hire. And he has the same personnel, and the defense is poop. That's all it is. I mean,
I know, Bill, something about the way you're saying that is just funny. Thank you for the call, by the way. I'm sorry we're up against it. But definitely point made, got your point across. And I think to Bill's point, Perloff, like, you can say, oh, by missing field goals and the special teams and all that, but you know, it is the head coach's responsibility. If the special teams is something is wrong, they've got to try to fix it, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
same with the defense.
It is an imperfection, but Shanahan clearly has nothing to. I mean, Shanahan coaches the offense. That's a
That could be a criticism.
Does he even go into the defensive room? I'm not. Yeah, listen, he's not Bill Belichick necessarily, but. I don't know. There seems to be a disconnect. Shanahan can't fix the defense, but Shanahan's kind of owned McVay. So we'll see on Thursday night. It's a huge game. I know the Rams beat him last year, but generally Shanahan always wins this game. So say what you want about the Niners. It's also, Bill said it too, it's injuries. I mean, how can you really judge this team?
So two big things that came out of this weekend for the 49ers that are notable. Number one, they did say, the report is they are going to commit to Purdy long term. So things can change between now and then, but it looks like Purdy's going to be the guy, and they are going to pay him, and it's going to be big money. Is it going to be the biggest contract? I don't know, but it's going to be big. And the second thing was Kyle Shanahan was asked, are you aware that there's an idea about there out there that people would trade for you, that a team would trade for you as a head coach? And he said, there's no place I'd rather be than in San Francisco. So,
yeah.
So that's that. Also, another interesting thing that came out late last night, it was Purdy and Diamador Lenore were apparently asked to speak to the team by Kyle Shanahan and gave some kind of impassioned rah-rah speech. And you know what? That's the way to execute it, because I have no idea what they said. But you give the rah-rah speech before you play the Bears, because then you win. Purdy looks great. Everyone looks great. And it looks like the speech worked. That's like sports speeches 101. You don't give the speech before you play the best team in football. Then the speech... speech might not work.
Hey, what happened? Is Garendo okay? What's the deal? Does anyone know? So he limped off too. Who's playing running back for this team?
I'm sure they'll cook up somebody.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe, but it's interesting. Like, can they? Because they still are in it. I mean, like, we're not going to count them out. There is a season left to go here. It is funny how injured they are. But and again, say what you will, if Bosa doesn't play, then what are we doing here? It's a waste of time.
855-212-4227. All right, there you go. Got through a lot there. Our NFL in 60. Coming up, we got to do a little M&P 500. Whose stock is up? Whose stock is down after a big weekend? Don't move.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Time for Stock Up and Stock Down. Just a busy, busy sports weekend. Maggie, why don't you get us started? Yeah. Whose stock is up?
Stock up, Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney wins the ACC. This is the eighth time in the last 10 years. He was clowned, mocked, made fun of, won't use the transfer portal. Meanwhile, he's sitting at the top of the heap. They have to go to Austin to play Texas in the first round, so it's going to be a handful. But everyone wanted Dabo Swinney run out of town, and meanwhile, here he is, another ACC title.
What does this title mean if they lose in their first round matchup?
What does it matter?
Because he used to be a national title winner. Of course it matters.
Well, if you're just going by who's in, who's out, this is an accomplishment this year for this Clemson team.
That's sad, because this used to be a team that could knock out Alabama and win the title. Okay, I'll go on the flip side of that one in the upcoming matchup. Stock up. Oh, okay. My stock up, Sam Darnold. Not only is he's not like a system quarterback, because he runs like crazy right now. I think they should sign him. Give up on J.J. McCarthy, even make him like...
Wait a minute, what? No.
I'm 100% honest.
Give up on J.J. McCarthy? They just drafted him in the first round.
Sorry, you're Josh Rosen. You're out. Sam Darnold's that quarterback. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Because he's not just a system quarterback. He is definitely very mobile. He's perfect for them. I mean, dude threw 5 touchdowns yesterday. His numbers are insane. Yeah, sorry, J.J., you're out.
Wow. But Josh Rosen played poorly and lost his job. And his team had the number one pick the next year. It's like a lot of things. You just think they're going to just give up on him?
Well, or keep him as a backup. Like, you can't let Sam Darnold go, right? You wouldn't try to re-sign him?
Well, I think it depends what you're seeing from McCarthy. Now, remember, McCarthy did have that second surgery, to clean up the first surgery. So maybe that gives him a little wiggle room, but...
I don't think it makes any difference whatsoever. Like, you're 11-2... And this is reminds me a lot of the Case Keenum year, actually, when they were 13-3. But Darnold, he is overwhelming statistic-wise. Like, he's actually creeping in the top five. He might get an MVP top five. You can't let that go. You'd be crazy.
Darnold's going to get a pretty big payday, don't you think?
Yeah, it better be from Minnesota. They're not paying that many guys. paying Jefferson, but yes, I'm surprised you were surprised by that. Like, you going to let that guy out the door right now?
Man, all right. Stock up, stock down. That's what we do here on the M&P 500. All right, if we were doing stock up, let's go stock down. Stock down, New York Yankees. You lose out on the Juan Soto sweepstakes to the Mets. Oh, the indignity. Not just losing out to him, but losing out to the Mets. And I say that as a Mets fan. How dare you? And you are one of the most valuable franchises in all of professional sports to lose out to another team over money for Juan Soto, who clearly made a difference to their team, I think is just, it's just unforgivable. So stock down, New York Yankees.
Again, I'm not sure I totally agree with that, but I'll do my stock down. Quinn Ewers just doesn't look right. I'm sorry. Like, he throws that one little slant very well. But other than that, he feels very non-threatening for Texas right now. I would have gone Arch earlier in the season because I'm not sure Quinn Ewers is totally healthy either. But he makes me nervous. Like, I feel like when everyone's predicting this college football playoff, nobody's going with Texas anymore. And I think that's because of Ewers. I think they have talent everywhere else. And I think Sark is obviously a great play caller. I just don't trust this guy right now. I would go to Arch at some point soon.
Can I give you one more stock up?
Sure.
This is just kind of surprising to me, but good for her. Did you know that Kylie Kelce, the wife of Jason, her podcast is now number one in the U.S. over Joe Rogan? Wait. What? How?
Is that a
what
new,
do they even talk about? I don't.
Is that a new podcast bump?
Oh,
like,
maybe.
You get the most?
Maybe.
Because, like, whenever a new podcast comes out, it immediately debuts. It's like top three and then disappears.
Okay. I've got another stock.
I don't know. Well, go ahead.
I've got another stock down for you.
But can I tell my other stock up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go
because
ahead.
I know EJ loves this guy. Can we talk about Cam Scataboo on Arizona State?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Am I a gigantic Arizona State fan? And is the other guy coming back there? Other good player? They have two good players. Jordan Tyson? Under,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think they hope he come back.
But. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about Arizona State football. That's where Plummer went, right? That's all I could tell you about. Like, they are
Jake Plummer. Yeah, yeah.
They're definitely a team that is easy to back in this college football playoff. They have a bye, so we won't see him for a while. But Cam Scataboo was just running rampant over Iowa State.
He is really fun to watch. More stock up, stock down. Maggie and Perloff. Stock down. Sean McDermott. Terrible end of the game clock management spoils an all-time day from Josh Allen. Stop me if you've heard that before, Bills fans. And I think a lot of people happen to be watching that game because
can't you acknowledge the Rams playing an outstanding game? Like, can it be that maybe the Rams just beat the Bills because Puka Nacua's arms went up in the midair and caught the ball, and then Cooper Kupp was tough as nails, and they have a good offensive line and run game? Like, can't you just have the Bills just be beat and not blame anybody?
I would have thought that way if they hadn't erased a 17-point deficit, basically, in the fourth quarter.
Give
them
credit for that.
No. No, you don't get a participation trophy credit for making it close when you are a supposed Super Bowl contender. And actually, they were the Super Bowl favorite going into that game.
Yeah.
So, no partial credit. And can I do a stock up on the hilarious, and I think he meant it to be funny, Malik Nabers from Nico and Bogus's New York Giants, who when a fan flies a plane over the stadium calling for the owner to fix this dumpster fire, Malik Nabers, their first round draft choice, is asked about it and just said simply, "I didn't pay for the plane." Like anyone thought he did. It would have been baller if he did, but that would have been silly. So there you go. Did we get it all? I think so. Oh, Kadarius Toney. Two snaps in the fourth quarter, both on special teams. Fair catch flag for taunting and a muff punt, and the Steelers recovered. Kadarius Toney on the Browns is like too much to overcome. It's like it's already the Browns, and then you add Kadarius Toney into the mix. It's an overwhelming sense of bad karma. All right, I think that's it. Bogish has headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Guys, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by PXG Golf for high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more. Make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at pxg.com. It starts at $765 million. Another $40 million can get tacked on through an opt-out clause, so the Mets might pay Juan Soto $805 million over the next 15 seasons. Here on day one, without final confirmation, it is the richest deal in pro sports history. And oh, by the way, Mets single game tickets go on sale this morning. At least one outlet says those Yankees were in the lead for Soto deep into yesterday, but then Mets owner Steve Cohen came in and closed. We're told the last Yankee offer was just $760 mil over 16 years. Baseball's
cheap also skates is what they are.
Baseball's also celebrating Dick Allen and Dave Parker being elected to the Hall of Fame by a veterans committee. Both were MVPs. Parker won two batting titles. Allen has a better career OPS plus than Hank Aaron and Willie Mays.
And were both caught smoking in the dugout, too, famously?
Again, this is the use of caught. I think you're allowed to smoke in the dugout.
Right.
They just were seen smoking in the dugout.
Yeah, one of them's on the Sports Illustrated cover smoking.
I think that's Dick Allen.
Yeah, it's Dick Allen. Dave Parker famously was smoking all the time.
Let me find that Sports Illustrated cover while Bogus keeps
going. I mean, can you imagine somebody lighting, and also obviously Len Dawson in the Super Bowl, can you imagine a guy lighting up a cigarette in a dugout now?
Jim Leland was doing it when the Tigers went to the World Series.
Right, he got caught because he wasn't allowed to be doing it.
It'd be funny if Major League Baseball was like, listen, no smokeless tobacco. We don't want it to be a bad influence on the kids. But yeah, you can just rip a bone. Rogue, just go to town with those, whatever he's smoking, Marlboros, I don't know.
Yeah, Dick Allen is on the cover of Sports Illustrated juggling two baseballs while a cigarette is dangling from his lips.
That's talent.
Yeah, no, the sports
it's
was
Wednesday.
Definitely way cooler than.
It was just allowed.
Yeah.
Smoking on airplanes remains the most inexplicable thing we've done as humans. I cannot fathom that.
I know. We didn't live through it,
no.
So we're lucky in that sense. But
Nico, airplanes, you've been on one, right? Now, you know, there's all these rules. There used to be not rules.
That doesn't even seem super safe, by the way.
I know. For a thousand reasons, it seems complete. Like, that would have been a first day rule. Like, we probably shouldn't light many fires on this plane. But they're like, no, let's do it.
Also, just the smoke.
Right.
Like, wouldn't it just been hazy in there? Maybe the filtration system was good. Or imagine taking a flight, like a long one.
No, the filtration system was not good. They didn't have filtration systems in the 70s.
You couldn't see row 8 from row 15.
Like, you're like flying to Shanghai or something. Like, wow, I'm going to be on this flight for 24 hours. I've got no TV. Just... how? I can't make a flight from St. Louis to New York without a TV. I'm like, oh.
Hello, flight attendant. Can I just get that oxygen mask? Can I just bring it down now? I know we're not going down. Just give it to me right now. The guy next to me is just
he's like, got any parachutes around here so I can jump out of the plane? Yeah, I don't know how people did that. Have you ever been in a plane where it's recent, but they have the ashtrays on the side of the arm of the seat?
Oh,
I'm like, how old is this airplane? Oh, no.
So my friend is a flight attendant, and we were randomly talking about this the other day, and she said, now, not the ones in the seat. I haven't seen those in forever, but there are ashtrays on planes. And that's on the list of no fly if those things aren't there. Because the thought is, if somebody's a dope and lights a cigarette, you need a place at the flight to put it out. So there are still ashtrays randomly in planes as like an ultimate safety precaution.
Oh, that makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
I've seen them before. I'm like, oh my gosh, was this plane built in 1952? What's going on?
You know, they probably shouldn't still be in the armrest. That's old school. But like randomly, like in the like the work areas, and I think maybe even in the bathroom, sometimes there are ashtrays that have to be.
Yeah.
That's part of the safety check before you can leave.
You can't vape on a plane, right?
Can't do any of those things.
Yeah, that's good.
The Chiefs won again last night by the skin of their teeth, up 13-0, down 17-16, then winning 19-17 over the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. KC kept the ball for the final 4.5 minutes, setting up Matthew Wright's game-ending 31-yard field goal. L.A. head coach Jim Harbaugh responding only how he can.
Reminded of Sir Andrew Barton. Fight on, my men, Sir Andrew said. I'm a little wounded but not slain. I'll lay down and bleed a while. And we'll rise and fight again.
Now, Maggie, our...
I was just thinking that.
Let that one breathe. Our good friend Nick Costos says that Harbaugh stole that from Marv Levy. Can you confirm or deny that?
That probably sounds right. Marv was really big into the battle stuff, history buff.
Might have been there. He was one of the soldiers that Andrew Barton was talking to.
Marv was definitely alive when you could smoke on airplanes. That's for sure.
And he definitely was smoking.
He was like an adult. Bless
Marv. Marv Levy's one of those people that looks like he was just born 65 years old.
I think his hair went white when he was like in his 30s. But man, bless Marv Levy. Is he 101 or 100? Something like that. Man, he's the best. I also believe that he did coin the phrase, when you start listening to the fans, you'll be sitting with them. People say that a lot. I do think that can be linked back all the way to Marv.
99 years old, wow. Marv Levy.
Awesome. When's his birthday?
It's not even say here, which is kind of scary.
He doesn't know.
August, the Gregorian calendar when he was...
August 3rd.
Spring of...
Yeah, August 3rd, 1925.
Circa. Wow. All right, we should send him something this year.
Maybe he'll live to see the Bills win a Super Bowl.
I only can pray.
The Chiefs, by the way, they're 12-1 now after this win. They've won 15 straight one-score games. They are AFC West champs for the 9th year in a row. Now, something the Jets are still interesting. Others are Garrett Wilson, the Jets receiver, who can't believe they lost another game despite leading in the fourth quarter.
Losing period sucks. And, you know, when you're up in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden it starts to feel like you have a losing problem. It's like you have like a gene or some.
He said a curse word. The Jets.
Wow, is he new around here? It's the Jets. Of course they have some kind of loser gene.
They had a 23-15 lead through three in Miami yesterday afternoon. They retook a 26-23 edge in the fourth and allowed a tying field goal with 7 seconds left. Then Tua's 10-yard TD to Jonnu Smith in overtime. So the Dolphins win 32-26, keeping alive their slim playoff chances. The Jets, meanwhile, officially eliminated from contention. Their last playoff appearance remains 2014.
You know what the precedent's got to be? To play at a place like Ohio State, where if you lose one game, it's like a disaster and everyone gets fired, and then go to the Jets.
Yeah.
Like that's got to be the biggest whiplash ever, where there are still those expectations because Aaron Rodgers shows up, but then you lose every game. It's awful. Like I don't envy Garrett Wilson at all. He sounds depressed, and he probably is. Because of this situation being such a disaster.
Still not as bad as losing to Michigan, though.
He don't sound like it. You heard that quote? He's like, it's in our DNA.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at least he's rich. Rich Cimini tweeted this, and I thought it was good. 14 straight years out of the playoffs in the free agency era, and now with an extra wild card, is just absurd.
You can't make it up. It's every year, we come and do the same thing.
You nailed it this year, though. You knew that they were going to be bad.
No, I thought they were going to be really good. And then once it got bad, I jumped off the bandwagon very fast.
Right. Still nailed it.
Yeah, close enough.
Nailed it. Getting on the bandwagon now, oddly.
This is buying the stock when it's low. Smart.
In the San Antonio Spurs 121-116 home win over the Pelicans last night, Chris Paul passed Jason Kidd for number 2 on the all-time assist list.
It was really cool. You know, the guys, they gave me a memorable gift, not only a win, but a ball and a big picture with all the teams that I didn't play with.
CP3 had 10 helpers last night, now 12,099 for his career. Victor Wembanyama scoring 25 after missing 2 games with lower back soreness. And college hoops yesterday, number 1, Kansas on the men's side, losing its second straight, 76-67 at Missouri. Number 25, UConn winning at Texas, 76-65. Alex Caraban, 21 points, 11 rebounds after missing 2 games with a concussion. Mm-hmm. Guys, back to you.
We have something from Deion Sanders that we have to get to right away because there is a... discrepancy in there is some kind.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number 1 checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Kind of factual error that we have to address right now. We're going to do it after the break. Stay with us.
Daily. Do you believe in that?
Dion.
You believe in that?
All right, checking in with Deion Sanders. No, Colorado did not make the 12-team college football playoff, but they were pretty close. Okay, here is a video that's circulating of Deion Sanders and Antonio Pierce speaking at an event in Las Vegas. And on social media, it's being circulated as if this happened recently. Here's what it sounded like.
Now I just need you to do one thing. Awesome. I need you to draft those Sanders boys next year.
Okay, now that was Deion again with Antonio Pierce when Pierce is obviously the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Deion Sanders tweeting 5 minutes ago, to whom it may concern, the video that's being played of me and Coach Pierce is from the Super Bowl last year. God bless and have a phenomenal day. We are #dad/Coach Prime. My question is, okay, Deion wants to set the record straight. This is a year ago. But this makes more sense now than ever. The Raiders, if the draft was today, have the number one overall pick.
And they did not take a quarterback last year, which opens the spot for a quarterback this year.
I don't understand. Like, Deion's kind of making it seem like the media is being irresponsible here by assuming this is recent, but the material part of it doesn't change.
Well, I just think that maybe he's looking at the Raiders and saying, like, I don't want my kids there because the team is so bad. And, like, remember, if it was the last year's Super Bowl, they still had Devontae Adams. Like, I don't know. There was a little hope that maybe they wouldn't be this big of a train wreck. Now, I'd be surprised if Antonio Pierce is the coach next year, right? Like,
well, it depends. I mean, how big of an influence is Tom Brady going to have? There could be better days ahead. No disrespect to Antonio Pierce. The team's 2-11.
Maybe Deion doesn't want to get cornered into them if they have the number one pick. So he's keeping his options open because it does feel like Deion wants to intervene here. He's taken.
The question is for who and for what? Like to steer Shador where?
Obviously not the Raiders. You want no part of that.
Or do you? I mean, Tom Brady's a huge mentor of Shador, and Brady's now a part owner of the Raiders. So maybe Vegas is exactly where they want to be. You would rather go there than the New York Giants?
I think the Vegas is the worst. I mean, when's the last time they were a legit threat? Giants is right there, but the Giants at least have neighbors. I don't know. It's pretty bad. I don't know where he's going to steer the kid. Maybe the Raiders. The Raiders are not going to win in this setup. They're not going anywhere.
Okay, but you said that they don't have Devontae Adams. They do have Brock Bowers. I know he's a tight end and he's not a wide receiver, but he's pretty damn good. The thing for the Raiders is you've got to hit on quarterback first and foremost. And I'm not trying to say wide receivers are a dime a dozen, but I feel like I have a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot more wiggle room to find a great wide receiver just because there's so many more of them.
I feel like you're set up for massive failure in Vegas.
But you don't even know who the coach would be.
Yeah, no. Well, I think Deion doesn't know who the coach is going to be either. So he's got to sort of hold his cards close to his vest because he's not going to commit to the Raiders not knowing what's going on. I mean, who's the guy? I mean, it is a kind of there are a lot of jokes. Sincere McCormick was their main playmaker yesterday. Sincere McCormick. Who the heck is that guy?
I don't know.
He won a lot of fantasy leagues, but he is generally as unknown as you get. And Brock Bowers, yeah, he's awesome, but he is a tight end. I mean, he broke the rookie record, right? He beat Sam Laporta's record from last year. Laporta's like option 5 in Detroit right now.
Okay, but see, I'm surprised that you wouldn't see the forest through the trees here. You can't really pick apart a Raiders loss in the middle of a meaningless season. They're trying to go for the number one overall pick, and they're succeeding at that, air quotes.
I don't think they're trying to go for the number one overall pick.
Why wouldn't they be? They're gonna be squaring off against the New York Giants to try to get to the bottom here.
No, I think they're that bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think there's any effort.
Oh.
Yeah. And also, it's obviously the organizational issues. Mark Davis is the owner.
Okay, but
these problems are much deeper than this roster.
I feel you there, but I ask you, who else picking in the top, let's go 7, do you feel like has this awesome front office? The Giants do not get the benefit of the doubt. New England already has a quarterback. Carolina might be just as bad. Jacksonville probably doesn't need a quarterback. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence is fine. Tennessee, have they shown they're a great front office? The Jets? Are you crazy? You want Shador to go to Cleveland and get involved in that mess? The Raiders are looking awesome compared to some of these other situations.
Yeah, Tennessee seems interesting for sure. Cleveland is probably viewed differently by Deion than you guys, if they could get some of that Watson money out of there, which is probably hard to do. I think the Giants is probably a better spot than the Raiders.
The Raiders are stuck behind. That's just on history then.
Yeah, but the Giants
have been terrible.
Yeah, but the Raiders are stuck behind Mahomes, Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton now. I'm not sure that that's the place to go. It seems like a real tough job there.
I don't know. The most interesting thing that happened at the Giants game yesterday is some woman showed up and flashed everybody. That's when you know things like that's the level you need to entertain people because the football's been that bad.
I mean, both cities are good. I think Vegas works for Deion. I think New York could work for Deion too. Carolina, unless they say, Deion, you're the coach, you're the general, like they got to hand over the keys to the city to Shador. I don't know. I mean, listen, we do not know exactly the calculus here. What if he does a Kobe and tries to push him down to 12 or 13 or 14? That'd be very hard to do in the NFL.
A little harder, I think. A little harder than basketball.
Obviously, can't get him to Dallas because they paid all that money to Dak Prescott. That's a shame. That would have been a good fit.
We have a couple poll questions to update you on. Which is the bigger issue you have with the college football playoff? Alabama missing the field or Oregon's college football playoff title path? 84% saying Oregon. Thank you, everybody. Oregon being the number one overall seed. And they get basically the hardest second-round matchup on paper, the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee. Congrats.
Nobody has a problem with Alabama not making it, but that doesn't mean everybody that you think the 12 teams are the best 12 teams in the country. There's clearly something a little odd here. Will you at least admit that, Maggie?
Yeah, I think the format is not good, but I feel for Oregon because you run the table. You have the number one overall seed. Congratulations. You got to play two of the best in the best conferences that we had. Meanwhile, Penn State over here is, you know, looking a lot more palatable to have a home game against SMU, yeah. No disrespect, and then the next round would be Boise.
I think Oregon got to root for Tennessee. I think that is the clear, better matchup.
Other poll question, are the Jets still interesting right now? 93% say no. A little lopsided. The future of Aaron Rodgers, though, might be interesting. If he puts together a few more 300-yard games, could be a market out there for him.
Yeah, market out there. He's definitely a New York Jet next year.
Oh, man. I don't know if EJ's going to survive.
What's the Jets' other option? Are they going to re-sign Darnold?
Anything else.
I think the Darnold ship has sailed. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you, Nico Scarlatos. And so glad you're feeling well and feeling better. Hi to your dad. Bogish Kaplan, the Weedos, the Coffee Drinkers, and Ralph Russo. Thank you.